Hey, Rose friends. Today, our good friend Susan Lyle Young is back with us to talk about a new line of rose-infused skincare products. If you aren't familiar with Susan, we met when she shared her story of how one bagged rose from Kmart turned into a rose passion. That passion led to more and more roses. Sound familiar? Most days you'll find her on her rose farm of nearly 1,000 roses, many of them heirlooms. Now she's adding something new, rosy superfood for our skin. So even in winter, everything's coming up roses because it's time for Rose Chat.
It's time for the Rose Chat podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey, Susan, welcome back to Rose Chat.
Thank you, Teresa. It's good to be back.
Now, Susan, when our friendship began, you just had a few roses. So how many are out there now? Don't you hate this question?
Yeah, I've, honestly, Teresa, I've lost count. It's over 1,000 individual varieties.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And, so you're such a good steward of them. I'm so proud of what you do, and you have so many unique varieties. So thank you from all of us who don't have that much space.
Well, you know, it's kind of a real pleasure to be able to do it, actually.
I'm sure that it is. You know, that whole counting thing, Mr. G always counts more than I do. He finds them. And I kind of go by, you know, if they rooted themselves or if it's a sucker, you know, it's kind of like free space and bingo. It's like, that doesn't really count. And so he counts them all. So.
Yeah, no, who's counting? You know, who's counting? So we're always room for one more.
Oh my goodness, isn't that true? Now we're recording in mid-December and you have 1,000 roses. So I'm wondering what steps you take to protect them in the winter.
Well, I was thinking about that today. I remember back when I first started, I had a lot of mine in pots and didn't really occur to me that, you know, a rose in a pot is a zone more tender, right? Mm-hmm. Because they don't have that stabilizing effect of all the earth around it. They're more subject to the freeze and thaw that we get here so much. So I lost quite a few, because I'm a zone pusher, Teresa. You know that.
I do.
Right? So the ones that were kind of zone A did not do well in pots. So I learned my lesson, and now with pots, I make kind of a little nest for them out of pine straw, just to, you know, just to kind of nestle them down in there and keep those roots a little more insulated. So with pots, that's an important thing to remember, I think. And, you know, with my roses out at the farm, they kind of have to fend for themselves out there. There's just too many for me to baby all of them, but some of them that are maybe zone pushers, I will, take burlap or agrabon, which is like an agricultural, kind of thermal blanket.
Sort of like a tarpy.
It allows air and light and water to get in. It's kind of a lightweight little fleecy type blanket. And I'll just kind of wrap that around a bush a couple of times, just again, to kind of protect it from, you know, one day we're at 60 and then we drop down to 22 and then the next day it's 22 and then, you know, mm-hmm. So I think for me with winter protection, it's making sure that the ones that are more tender aren't subject to those crazy swings. Cause you know, I'd grow a lot of the teas and they don't really go dormant. Like you think of a hybrid tea does, they can be green and full of sap. And if they get zapped with 18 or so, you know, it can kill an entire bush.
That's hard to lose.
So maintaining, I think, is the most important thing.
Well, that's good advice. Now, it is that time for catalogs to start arriving. So have you made a list of what's come to the garden in 2020?
I have.
Tell us.
Well, I ordered some more antiques that have either not done well or, you know, I had some RRD in my home garden. Mm-hmm. I lost quite a few plants. So I'm replacing pretty common antiques like Madame Alfred Carrier. I lost my 5-year-old climber Parade, which is a child
that
of a lower
gorgeous.
Yes, Teresa. Yes, beautiful rose. And then I'm revisiting some of my favorite Austins. I'm adding to some that I've had over the years I really like. I'm adding a couple of St. Cecilia. Mm-hmm. And I'm adding a couple Charles Darwin and a couple Pat Austin.
Oh, those are gorgeous. Pat Austin is the most amazing color.
Yes. Yes, it is. I love it. So, you know, I think for me, when I first started buying roses, I would buy one of this and one of that. And, you know, once you get into it a little bit more and see who you really like and who does mm-hmm. well for you, I like to have maybe 3 or 5 of each one. So mm-hmm. that's kind of been, I haven't bought anything new, no new introductions. I've managed to stay away. What about you?
Well, I haven't made my official list, but I did place, I think I've got one or two on order, and that is the Lady Gardener. It's a David Austin.
Yes.
I saw it at the Biltmore, and it just about knocked my socks off. So I decided I had to have that one. So I ordered a couple of those. So I think that's all I have on order. But I keep thumbing through the web pages. Oh, my goodness. Do you have that one?
No, I don't. And mm-hmm. I've admired it for a while. Yeah.
Well, there was a whole bed of it at the Biltmore, and it was just absolutely stunning. And this was, you know, at the end of bloom season, and it still was absolutely stunning. I've got a question. You had a picture, I think it was on Instagram, of Lilac Dawn. Is that
yes.
one? Is that one pushing the zone, or what zone could we expect that to do well in?
Well, Lilac Dawn, you know, that was a rose that we collected out at the San Jose Heritage Garden and had hoped to get it started, you know, going with the nursery. So mm-hmm. it's a pretty hardy rose. I mean, it's certainly, I think, would be okay in at least 6, maybe 5.
Okay.
But out in San Jose, you talked about the Lady Gardener. Lilac Dawn is a lot like that. I mean, it just makes a huge blooming, ever blooming hedge without a spot on it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Oh, I need to go out there. I spent a lot of time in California when my daughter was out there, but we didn't get that far north. So, but that's on my bucket list.
Yes. Add it to the list. It's definitely mm-hmm. a place to see before you, pass away.
Before we start talking about the wonderful skincare items you have, there was something that kind of haunts me that was on your Instagram, and you have been such a champion for the old garden roses, and I've loved them forever too, as long as I've been gardening. And and just their history and their fragrance and all those things that make us fall in love with them. But you had a hashtag that just really got to me. It said extinction is forever. And so I just want to applaud you for all your efforts in tracking around these different places to bring these roses to your garden. So, you know, they aren't lost. And so well done you, Susan.
Well, thank you. You know, I was telling, I don't know who it was. I'd love to have a nonprofit, you know, where you could just kind of collect, all the ones that are no longer sold and take care of them and preserve them, because, you know, a lot of the newer hybridizers, they want to use the genes from those old roses, right? That's what David Austin did.
I was just going to say that, you know, that's exactly what he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you think about them being lost, I don't know, there's some crazy number of plant species that we're losing and, every year, because the seeds are only in the hands of a few. So if I could start a nonprofit and get all these roses out to people who loved them and wanted to care for them, I would love to do that. And that may happen someday.
Oh, it may. We're going to pray that it does. Okay. Let's talk about these luxurious products that you have. And I guess the first thing I want to know is what makes your products different from other products on the market?
Well, I think first of all, with just about anything out there I've found to purchase with a rose scent, is just that awful stuff. You know, it smells like air freshener, right?
No, bus stop
air freshener. It's awful.
Oh, it's just one of my least favorite smells in all the world.
There you go, right?
Yeah. Yes, you're so right.
Right. So if you want to smell like, you know, an actual rose, there's just no options. And, you know, the scent of roses is probably my almost favorite part, of the rose. Everything is my almost favorite part, but the scent is what's so important. And when you can't have it, because, you know, I don't have roses year round, I really do miss it. And so I just wanted to create something that rose lovers could have year round that actually, you know, came from a living plant and was extracted from the plant, not created in a lab, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was a big part of it. And then I started looking at, you know, you go to the drugstore, you see a tube of lotion that says shea butter. Well, yeah, maybe 0.1% shea butter's in there. Everything else is just some kind of gobbledygook. And I thought, okay, well, let's make a real shea butter balm. You know, let's use all these wonderful oils and butters out there, and let's use just them. Let's not add preservatives and synthetic fragrances. And, you know, someone told me, when you see a product that says it's hypoallergenic, that means that they have added something to it to decrease your allergic reaction. It doesn't mean you're not going to have an allergic reaction to it. It means that there's actual chemical compound in it that will decrease your allergic reaction to it. So that kind of took me aback. And, and I thought, you know, that's not necessary. We've got enough stuff like that out there. Let's bring some goodness. And, you know, plants have been alive. They're living things. And when you cold press them to get their oils, you know, I think you still have some of that vitality to the product that you don't have when it's made in a laboratory.
So true. So true. Well, I'm looking at your product list, and tell us about a couple of things. Now, I have the lip balm. I can tell you it's amazing. And as a gardener, I have abused my hands, and so I've got my eyes on the hand balm. Tell me a little bit about that.
I love the hand balm. The hand, most of the things that I have put into the collection can be used for any other purpose, really. If I were going out to a football game, say, and it was really cold, I would probably put the hand balm on my face just to prevent it from chapping. It doesn't have anything in it that will clog your pores. Now, I wouldn't want to use it daily as a moisturizer, but it's great to protect your nose and your ears and your cheeks, all those places that get windburned. It's wonderful on cuticles. It's wonderful for hands that are in water a lot of the day, because it actually will repel a little bit of water. So it kind of protects the moisture that you have in there. You don't get the pruny hands as much. Mm-hmm. It's great for hand massage. I use it sometimes as a solid perfume. It can be used to keep your eyebrows in place. Oh, if you put a little on the end of a Q-tip, it will repair mascara and eyeliner smudges and things. It'll just whisk them right off.
Oh my gosh.
So
awesome.
Oh, and you can put it on split ends. You know, it's just good for everything. It's really can be used for just about anything you need it for, you know. And it's full of vitamins and antioxidants, essential fatty acids. You know, it's good for your skin. It's not just something to put on there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good for your skin. Mm-hmm. And I love the way it smells.
All of your products, the fragrance is just fabulous. One bar of soap just perfumes the whole bathroom. I mean, it's just wonderful. And it's just a soft rose smell. It's nothing harsh. When you say, woo, it's, you know, perfumes the whole room. It just does it in a soft, lovely way. You've really got something going. I mean, it's just really nice.
Well, Teresa, I think that is the difference in scenting products with essential oils, which, you know, like I said, have been pressed from the actual plant or steam distilled from the actual plant, and using something that's been, you know, formulated in a laboratory to mimic, you know, that original scent. You know, the original mm-hmm. scent is so nice. Let's keep it that way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now I'm looking at one more product here. Pure Rose Anti-Aging Serum. Who doesn't want that?
Well, you know, the main ingredient in that, believe it or not, is rosehip oil. And rosehip oil has one of the highest amounts of vitamin C of any natural oil. Ours is sourced in Chile, and they have been using it there for years on burns, actual, you know, flame burns and sunburns, wind burns. You know, it's a medicinal product there culturally, and it decreases scarring. It decreases spotting. Who knew the rose could do all these things?
Wow. Wonderful.
But it can, you know, it can. And I'm not sure. It may be one of those things where, oh, people have used this, you know, people have used rose or rose hips for millennia. So that must be some old folksy junk. Let's change it and make it better with all these modern things we can cook up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But things that have stood the test of time, I think have stood the test of time because they work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad we're getting back to that. You know, you're hearing it more and more, and efforts being made. And you hear a lot about essential oils today and the benefits of that sort of thing. So, you know, I think we're on the right path again.
I do too. I do too. And I think that, you know, the younger people coming up, they really look for that. They just like you read a food label, you really do need to read your skin label, regardless of how wonderful you think it is or how much it costs or whether they say it's natural or not. You know, the FDA requires them to disclose what's in it. And if you can't pronounce it or you don't know what it is, you probably shouldn't be putting it on your skin.
Especially your face.
Yeah. Absolutely. Every single day, right?
Absolutely. So there's a wonderful product line. There's so many wonderful things that are available. So how can our listeners find your products?
They can find me online at www.restorationrose.com. That will link you to my products. And there's also some information there about me. And there's also some links to visit the farm. And I think there's a couple of previous Rose Chat interviews there as well.
Ooh, yes. We've had some fun. We've had some fun on Rose Chat, haven't we?
We like to chat. We do.
Well, thanks for sharing all that great information. Will we find similar information on the website about each of the products, or are we just going to have to let you come back and talk about all of them?
No, every product, you know, I didn't want to write a short novel for each product because I know most people don't want to be bothered or don't have the time for reading that. But I tried to kind of snapshot on each product, the oils that we chose and why we chose them and what they provide and how they're helpful to your skin. I plan to go more in depth with that as time goes on to have, you know, some consumer information pages so that people can, you know, visit. You know, there's a lot of third party organizations out there that check into skincare and that do research to determine, is this good or is this bad for you? So I'd really like to educate people about how to make the best choices for themselves.
Excellent. And this is switching gears, but we've got a few more minutes, and I think it was on your Instagram page that I saw pictures of heirloom bulbs. So can we talk about that for just a minute?
Sure. Well, you know me, I like all things that are old or vintage as far as plants and gardens go. And I also love things for their scent. And the heirloom daffodils, we call them daffodils, but they're really narcissus. There are several different types. I'm not even going to get started on that because I will send out some information, misinformation, but the older ones are meant to have, usually they have longer stems. Some of them bloom in clusters and they have a fragrance that just will knock you out. And kind of like everything else, the interest is really growing in preserving and keeping, mm-hmm. you know, these older bulbs that maybe your grandmother or your great grandmother mm-hmm. grew. Because, mm-hmm. you know, Teresa, I've got peonies that my grandmother planted in 1935 and wow. you know, they're still cranking it out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you buy bulbs like that, you really are making an investment. You know,
where do you find them?
Well, because I'm a farmer, I can get them wholesale. You know, I buy them in crates, like 500 at a time. But I think that one of the best websites that I've been to for the heirloom goodies is John Sheepers. Are you familiar with them?
No.
It's SCHEEPERS Sheepers. Mm-hmm. And they are very reasonably priced and they have all kinds of bulbs. And it's fun to try different ones, you know, that you're not familiar with. And there's another provider, and I'm just drawing an absolute blank. I know you know who they are because they have so many things, but a good search, you know, for heirloom mm-hmm. narcissistic bulbs will bring up some different sellers of bulbs. And you can kind of, I find that when I take a look at their website, I can kind of tell, like, are these quality and cared for bulbs? You know, you mm-hmm. want to look at what size bulb they're going to send you. And, you know, if they guarantee the health of the bulb, but the clustered, there's one called Bridal Crown that I just love. It's those little tiny clustered blooms. And, you know, kind of like a rose bush when you have like an old clustered flowering rose, where there'll be one bloom that's fully open. There's one that's half open. There's one in bud. There's one that's losing its petals. Mm. You know, it just makes it so pretty to look at. Those cluster flowering ones are beautiful.
Well, I'm thinking right now, thank goodness for Instagram, because when they bloom, I'm sure you're going to be posting pictures and we'll get to see firsthand.
Of course.
Yes. Well, friends, you can find her on Instagram, you'll love it. She does a lot of teaching there as well. Sometimes she puts up a picture of a rose, and then before you know it, you read the whole post and you've learned a great deal. So thank you for all that time that you do put into social media, because we are enjoying it and we're learning from all those things that you do. So Linda, time has flown by. Thanks for chatting today. And I've already made a list. I think I'm going to have Bridal Crown and probably Lilac Dawn. So as we've been chatting, I'm thinking, a couple of those David Austins might be making it to the list. Well, so thanks for teaching us and inspiring us.
I just wanted to say, Teresa, that anybody who's listening, if they want to try some of my rose goodness, I have a code available. It's super secret, but you can use the code LOYAL, LOYAL, and you can save 15% on your order.
Ooh, nice. 15%. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
That's at restorationrose.com. So I would love for people to just smell the roses all winter.
Yes, that sounds delightful, especially on those dark, dark days that Tennessee and Indiana give us this time of year.
Yes,
they do. But we can dream about first daffodils and then the other plants and then the roses come. So we're on that side of the calendar where things are coming at us again.
That's right.
Yes, that's my favorite time. So have a Merry Christmas, and it's great to chat. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Same to you. Take care, Teresa.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com, or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.